الله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم صدق الله العلي العظيم إجماعا صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Respected scholars, سادات العلماء, especially His Eminence Sayyid Sarkar Abadi and Maulana in the back, all brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I started it with Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Allow me to scan your beautiful and mashallah spiritual and illuminating faces, which I definitely miss. Now I know how kind of why Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, whose birthday inshallah we are celebrating tonight, prior to his departure from this world, he was crying. And when they asked him for the reasons for his tears, he said for two things. One of them was missing my friends. Alhamdulillah that God gave us opportunity again. I can speak for myself, but trusting your kindness, I believe it's reciprocal and mutual, that I really miss your, mashallah, beautiful faces. And as I see the faces, really, it's very rejuvenating and very refreshing. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And thank you very much, Alhamdulillah, that God gave us an opportunity to meet together. I'm also blessed exceptionally that I used to be with you last year in the last, perhaps, Ramadan program that you had in the old mosque. And now, mashallah, with the help of this community, Jazakumullah khaira, and may really wholeheartedly accept from the benevolent brothers, sisters, possibly whoever, in any way, form or shape that has contributed in this complex and construction of the house of God and the Husseiniyyah, the house of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Inshallah, may God accept it from all of you. And inshallah, by the grace of God, I will dedicate one night just talking about the significance of building the mosque and such Husseiniyyat, and how we can maintain it and how we can develop it. Inshallah, by the grace of God, that will be spoken about. Alright, tonight we are celebrating the birth anniversary of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, that all historians without any exception unanimously agreed that the Holy Imam was born on the 15th of the month of Ramadan, 3 years after the migration of the Prophet. Just a quick point here before we get to it, and inshallah the rest of my talk will prove what the announcement or the statement that I make in the beginning, that the reason that we are celebrating or commemorating the occasions of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is not just because it's a birthday party, obviously. So there's a misconception out there that some people they think, or perhaps even complain or question the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, what is this innovation that you've come up with, that you are celebrating the birth of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, or the celebrating the birth of the Prophet? Inshallah, tonight's talk and all the talks all around the world in such nights and such occasions are the practical proof for what we say, that we are not celebrating the birth of Imam Hassan Mujtaba or the Prophet or any of Masumi as a luck to chuck a party. It's not a like birthday party that we have, bringing candles and all those sensical or nonsensical whatever practices. The occasions of the birth and the demises of the prophets and ma'sumin alayhimu salam are opportunities for us to get to know more about their lifestyle. As inshallah we try to learn tonight from one of the miraculous aspects of the mannerism and the lifestyle of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, for the purpose of learning to practice, learning to follow. Speakers and respected audience, all of us are included. So we are all attending tonight, inshallah, the school of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, with the excuse of the birth of Imam Hassan. Otherwise, we are celebrating the character and the mannerism and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt throughout the year. It's not only tonight that we learn about Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. Those who've been attending the majalis, they appreciate that all what we have is from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Tonight also is another occasion, another excuse for us to learn about the lifestyle of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. Inshallah, with the intention that what we learn, we want to take it out, want to take it home, take it to our business, to school, wherever that we go, to practice it. Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, like other Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if we admire, if we respect them, if we proudly, like what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, he was saying that ma muftakharim ke shi'e Ja'far Sadiq hastim, we are proud to say that we are the followers of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is not just because of their blood relation to the Prophet. It's because of the characters that they demonstrated, because of the unique lifestyle that really, as the Prophet himself had said, Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, and all the Imams, they were following footsteps of the Prophet. So following Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam is following an infallible practice of Islam. That's why we are proudly following them, and we have chosen them. Sayyid Sharafuddin rahmatullah alayhi, he says that you show me in the history of Islam, among the Muslim figures, early Islam, anyone who could be close even to the level of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam in terms of knowledge, in terms of the characters, then come and argue with me, why don't you follow them? We did not find anyone even close to the status of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam to consider even following them. When it comes to the worshipping acts of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, definitely friends and foes unanimously have confirmed in the history that no one could compete worshipping God the way that Imam Hassan Mujtaba was competing. Imam Hassan, and inshallah the theme for this year, as I had mentioned to some of the brothers, will be more focusing on the Quran, and even tonight that we talk about Imam Hassan, my main intention is to explain one ayah of the Quran or two ayat of the Quran applying to the lifestyle of Imam Hassan Mujtaba. Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, night time before he goes to bed, he was reading Surah Al-Kahf. This is what the history has reported to us. Family, friends, people who pass by, they see that Imam Hassan is in tears, crying. What has happened? Anyone is reading Majlis? Hassan ibn Ali, Imam Mujtaba, must be reciting Quran. When he was reading the Quran, like somebody reciting Majlis, that the Imam is weeping and crying. That was the lifestyle. Inshallah, I'll explain to you, if not tonight, in the coming nights, why Ahlul Bayt and Muslims were crying when they were reading the Quran. In terms of the worshipping acts, before he comes to the masjid, at the gate of the masjid he stands like someone who wants to enter the palace of a king of the kings. Really entering the house of God. He stays behind the door. Ilahi dayfuka bibabik. O Allah, your guest is about to come. Ya muhsin qad ataka al-musi. O you benevolent, the sinner is coming. Seeking forgiveness. This is Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, the infallible Imam. The way that it's not just walking to the masjid, taking it for granted. Coming with etiquette, with respect. In terms of his generosity, that's why Imam Hassan is called Kareem Ahlul Bayt, the most benevolent, the most generous member of Ahlul Bayt and Ahl Kisa. All of them were generous, but especially when it comes to Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, that they have mentioned that Imam Hassan, like he had made a plan for himself that any time that my saving gets to certain threshold, my business is booming, I reached a certain level. Now that Alhamdulillah, I have enough, a bit of saving as well. Imam Hassan used to have all what he owned. So much halving it into two that it became a proverb, an expression that Imam Hassan, as if he, even if he had an extra pair of shoes, he would put one shoe one side, one the other. Figure of a speech. When you read in the history, it's a figure of a speech. Meaning that he was so particular. He was not just saving for me, myself and I, and then my offspring and my 10 generations to come to make sure that all looked after. Imam Hassan believed in this ayah, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاغْ. If you want to save, send it to God. Anything you keep for yourself and for your offspring, you have wasted it. You wasted it. I don't want to waste my wealth. So he was having his business, hence he was called Kareemu Ahlul Bayt, the generous person of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So much of this aspect of the life of Imam Hassan we have heard, and inshallah we know about it. Tonight I want to share with you one aspect of the life of Imam Hassan, and deliberately I want to share this with you because we are living in the era of so-called Islamophobia, the era of Muslims in general, followers of Ahlul Bayt in particular, anyone that they name, often because of their names they are treated differently, because of their skin color they are treated differently. And what we call it, the era of Islamophobia, that being a Muslim is an issue, especially in the West, okay? Especially where Muslims are in minority. Is there any treatment, any solution to this situation for us minority Muslims? The lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is the best example and the best practical solution for that. And this is where we see the miraculous aspect of the life of the Imams. The miracle of the Imam was not just their speech. Of course that was a miracle. We mentioned last year some examples of it. The miracles of the Imam was not just Imam, for example, Imam Hassan is sitting with one of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt under a tree. It was a palm tree, date tree. It was a dry tree, and then by the leave of God, Imam Hassan is asking and the tree becomes fruitful all of the sudden. And dates drop. This is a miracle. But this miracle you cannot see today. Unless you believe in what the history has narrated, how would I see it? Tonight I want to share with you one aspect of the miracles of Ahlul Bayt in general and Imam Hassan Mujtaba in particular, that it's something that is a role model for us to the level that we can practice it. And that is when it comes to their relation with their fellow humans, starting from the family, friends, peers, colleagues, whoever you want it, non-Muslims even. To see how Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, he dealt with his fellow humans in general, fellow humans, whoever they may be. Particularly when it comes to relation with the enemies, then that is in relation to his mannerism. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, we are talking about the akhlaq. We call it akhlaq Muhammadi, akhlaq Hassani, the mannerism and the character of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Speaking of mannerism and akhlaq is from the root of khulq. We have khalq, that is the way that we look, and we have khulq, and that is the way that we behave. So khulq is our character, internal character, that reflects in our action and speech. And khalq is the way that we look, our appearance. I do not have any manner or any akhlaq unless that has become like my second nature, your second nature. Like inshallah, you are a generous person. With your generosity, this project has been accomplished. Generosity, unless you do it by nature, meaning that you enjoy doing it, you cannot help it, you have to do it. So I know some people, by nature they are generous. God forbid, there are some people that by nature they are mean and stingy. Whatever that we do it naturally, by our nature, it's our khulq, it's our manner, it's our character. If I force myself to give a donation, it still is counted and it's good to start with. And in fact, that's how they say, you can make it to habit. But the one who does it naturally and enjoying it, then you can say that this person enjoys that character. Okay? There are people that they are shy by nature. that's how they are. He doesn't need to pretend, play game or something. By nature, that's how they are. Now, the character that we demonstrate socially within our family, the motivations behind, I can see one of the three motivations, reasons, intentions behind. One is that is very common among us men, and unless ladies also, they are working as well, that it's a business manner, it's a business akhlaq. In the workforce, we demonstrate it. And when I say workforce, unfortunately, I have to be honest with you, often it happens on the top of the member as well, kind of business as well, just to appeal to the audience. It's not that I have that character, hypothetically speaking, I'm talking about. In the business world, they say that this is a strategy to win your customers. If you want to win your customers, you have to build a personal relation with them to attract and attain customers. So at work, I appear good and very nice and very friendly, very smiling person, very receiving, so that I get more customers. This is not the akhlaq that Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim were promoting. Although it's good, for whatever reason, don't get me wrong, that for whatever reason, you give a smile to people, it's good. It's a virtue. But اقرأ ورقة, we want to come to the class of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. Higher than this is that people that by nature they are like this. Like someone, as I said, by nature he's generous. He's born like this. By nature he is a shy person. And in ilm al-akhlaq they say this is also a virtue. There's no problem with that. He finds it very easy, or she finds it very easy to forgive. Inshallah, you're all like this. People that they keep grudges, it's a bad manner. They have to work on it. People that they say in family issues, Shaykh, I will never forgive him. He has betrayed me or she has betrayed me. I never forgive them. Don't ever say never. Don't ever say never. Say inshallah. At least put it inshallah around it. That you give a chance for reconciliation. Akhlaq that Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim are promoting is the third one that I want to share with you. And that is, do whatever ethically you are supposed to do. Do it purely for the sake of God. Do it for this reason at least. There is an ideology behind the manner of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. And that is, in ilm al-irfan, in mysticism, mystics, they say that the entire creation is the manifestation of divine action or divine attributes. I will explain that. Whatever in the universe you see that is created and exists is the manifestation of divine action, meaning that there is a divine action behind it, isn't it? Because God is the creator with capital C, otherwise this would not exist. Whatever that you can imagine. And subhanAllah, consider this, that sometimes I've been sitting watching when there is a big crowd at the train station, on the street, on the road, everywhere. Variety of subhanAllah human looks, isn't it? Billions of billions of billions of humans have come, emerged on earth since the creation of Adam and Eve. Can you imagine that not two humans are identical? Even identical twins are not identical in real sense of it. And the same applies to birds, the same applies to cats, the same applies to all animals, insects. And what is this? They call it unity in diversity. They say, look at this diversity. A variety of cats, variety of birds, variety of humans, yet identical, each to their own. That not two humans are identical. This is called unity. Because God is unique, that's why I call it, I said, the fingerprint of God is everywhere. The fingerprint of God, excuse this metaphorical expression, the fingerprint of God, you see it in your creation, because you are unique. I'm not sitting here, astaghfirullah, saying blasphemous things. Qul huwallahu ahad, God is unique, His creation. Every single creation of God is also unique. Therefore, you are a unique person in your creation, despite similarities. Unity in diversity that we are talking about. This is about the creation. Now, Urafa, they say that there is another aspect of divine manifestation that you and I, we are expected to develop within ourselves. In fact, that is the reason that God has given us this capital of 70, 80, 90, more or less, of the years of your life. So that you develop that divine character, divine attributes. What is that? Because inni ja'ilun fil ard khalifa, because God says, I have created you to be potentially my vicegerent on earth. And as sabur, I am the most patient, oft patient. And al ghafur, says the Almighty, I am the oft forgiving. You are expected also to be a forgiving person. And ar rahim, I'm the most compassionate person. You are supposed to be the most compassionate person. When I send rains, I don't care the recipients of this rain, are they Muslims or non-Muslims. It goes to all. Why? Because I am Ar-Rahman. I'm the most compassionate. And therefore, when you want to be kind to others, don't care about, don't ask about their ID. Don't ask about their blood relation. Don't ask about their ethnicity and so forth. You do it because this is a creation of God. In fact, they say for the Arif, it goes beyond the domain of humanity even. Beyond the domain of even humanity. This person, Al-Khalqu, note what the Prophet says. Al-Khalqu Iyalullah. The creation, not only humans. The creation is Iyalullah. Like, metaphorically, the family of God. فَأَحَبُّهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَخْتَمُهُمْ لِعِيَالِهِ. Do you want to know who among us will be more dear and loved by Allah? The one who serves the creation of God more. I am the servant of the community. I am the servant of humanity. I am the servant of the man, of the creation of God. This is what is expected from us. With this attitude, if we approach the world and people around us, then good mannerism is expected to come. And hence, Urafa, they say, if somebody wants you to define Irfan, what is mysticism, Islamic mysticism? They say you tell them one word, Al-Irfanu wal-Akhlaq. Mysticism, Irfan, it means akhlaq. So if I'm a frown person, if I'm not socially behaving well, even if I know so much, I have not smelled Islamic Irfan at all. Al-Arifu Hashun Bashun Bassamun, Ibn Sina says, Arif is the one who is always cheerful. You always see a smile on his face. He is happy, not at work, and at home he's frown. To his wife and family and children. No, he is a happy person, no matter what is going on. وَكَيْفَ لَا يَهِشْ وَهُوَ فَرْحَانٌ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And how he would not be happy? Someone who believes in God, someone who sees the entire universe as the creation of God. But Sheikh, my wife or my husband or this person, that person is giving me a hard time. Accept it. You know how sometimes you say that because he say it, no matter what, I respect him because of his connection with the Prophet. I put up with your attitude, brother, just because you are saying it. Now, put up with his attitude or her attitude because they are the creation of God, because you love God. And give them the excuses in your character. Now, long story short, when it comes to akhlaq, Ahl-Anbiya, all the prophets have come to teach us to elevate the status of mankind in terms of akhlaq. But to the time of the Prophet, they have reached us to what, to the level that we call it golden rule. Anyone knows what golden rule is? I asked someone, in fact he wasn't a Muslim, even a Christian, that because this is in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew. I asked him, do you know what is golden rule? He said, that's the rule of gold. Like the gold, the more gold you have, the more you can rule. I said, no, it's got nothing to do with business and ruling and politics. Golden rule, when they ask Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, define the golden rule to us. The Imam says two words or two expressions. Bazlul ma'roof wa kafful adha. If you want to have a good mannerism, it means share your goodness with others. It starts with a smile. Generosity, speaking good of people, whatever, any goodness that God has given them, share them with others. And the second, وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى. Keep your evil to yourself. Don't share it with anyone. You don't like, and that's why it's called golden rule, meaning that what goes around comes around. Do to others what you like them have done to you. You don't want anyone tease you. Don't tease them. You don't want anyone like him make funny comments on you. Don't make it. Don't, anything you want to do or you say, first put yourself in their shoes. Would you like them doing to you? No. Then why should I? What the reason that we start teasing and ridiculing and belittling others? Because I think I am high and mighty. I'm higher than him. And this in itself is a mortal sin. No, bring yourself down. Put yourself in his shoes. Subhanallah, Ayatollah Bahjad, Rahmatullah Alay. Especially when he was coming to ordinary people. Like a person who was, how can I say, mentally a little bit slow. That in the haram of Imam Reza alayhi salam in Mashhad, imagine someone with a very worn clothing, dress very worn and torn, mentally a bit slow, that people they refer to him as Majnoon, and he is coming towards Ayatollah Bahjad. His children usually say that don't disturb the Ayatollah. An elderly person, almost 90 year old, people would jump on him every second and they would disturb him. That man, when he was coming, they wanted to stop him. Ayatollah Bahjad himself, he goes to him and hugs him. He gave him a hug like as if he has met an Ayatollah, a marja taqlid, an old mate and friend. You know? Not only he is doing this to teach us, but he is also passing a message. This person deserves also respect because this person also is the creation of God. It's not his fault that he's mentally like a little bit slow or something. Okay? This is to the level of good mannerism. But the teachings of Ahlul Bayt elevated us a little bit higher than this. And that is what we see in the lifestyle of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, I'll explain it. Higher than this level of doing good to others is that if somebody does, to my interpretation, evil to me, how am I supposed to deal with them? I give you an example. Imagine that somebody is just passing by and just putting like a mark on your car, a brand new car that you just bought it, and is just marking your car and passes by. It hurts. In the old days, let me give you a real example from the time of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. And mind you that the time of Imam Hassan Mujtaba was the time that none of us would wish to live there and there. Why? Because it was after the assassination of Imam Ali alayhi salam. People just with the excuse of being the lover, let alone follower of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, they would lose their life, their head. It would be enough, I mentioned this to you last year if you recall, it would be easier for someone to say that I'm kafir in the Islamic State, I'm a kafir, I'm a zindiq, than say that I'm a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's how tough it was to live at that time for the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Okay? But see how Imam Hassan Mujtaba won the hearts of people, how disseminated Islam by practice. You know that even in his home he didn't have security and hence eventually was killed by his own wife, Ja'ade. One of his servants, imagine your servant at home that you pay them. The servant one day, Imam Hassan comes to the house, he had a goat, he liked that goat. Notice that the leg of the goat is broken. Imam made some inquiries and one of the servants has the audacity to say that, yes, I broke the leg. Why did you do this to this animal? Just to upset you. Look at this audacity. Talking to Imam Masum. Just to upset you because I was paid from Damascus to upset you. Now look at the answer of the Imam. Please, this one, may I ask you, it's a word of a Masum. Bless your mouth in the night of Imam Hassan Mujtaba. And this is a gift from Imam Hassan Mujtaba to myself and all of us. Take it home. Let us all take it home with us. I say you repeat after me. La ughammanna. Didn't hear it? لَأُغَمَّنَّ مَنَ أَمَرَكَ بَغَمِّ. Now I'm going to upset, Imam says. I'm going to grieve the one who has ordered you to grieve me. I'm going to upset the one who has ordered you to upset me. And the moment Shaitan. Shaitan ordered you to do this. In the nafs la'amaratun bisu. When somebody does evil, it's coming from the devil. Okay? It's the whispering of a devil. So Shaitan has done this to upset me. You tell that person you think has tried to upset. Now I'm going to upset him. How? By practicing this ayah. Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, ayah 34 and 35. وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. God says, Shaitan has ordered you to upset me. I get the instruction from my Lord, the Almighty. God says that good and evil are not equal. Are they? Swearing and sweet words are not equal. Are they? Common sense. We are talking common sense. And that's why you can share it with non-Muslims, everybody. اتفع بالتي هي احسن. Hence, repel evil with whatever that is better. What is better than evil? Good. Repel evil with whatever that is better, that is good. So tonight's the lesson from Imam Hassan Mujtaba. Anyone does anything evil in your interpretation to you, especially when it comes to family life, social life, among us brothers, endeavor to do good. Sister, do you know how you can win the heart of your mother-in-law? How you can win the heart of your father-in-law, brother, sister? Husband and wife on family issues. The more she tries to break your heart, the more you try to do good. Or the more he tries, he is breaking your heart, you reciprocate it with good. اتفع بالتي هي أحسن. What happens then? Nothing happens, Sheikh. Believe me, it will. God doesn't lie. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. Time will come between you and the one that was enmity. You will see that become, you melted their heart eventually. You won their heart. Time will come that you win their hearts. Especially the more sincere you are, the more it works. كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He becomes like your best friend. Best friend. It doesn't happen. Yeah, you are expecting it to happen overnight. Quran says, وَمَا يُلَقَاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. None will achieve this unless those who are patient. You have to be patient. With patience, you will get there. You have to take it. You know, sometimes we think that Urafa, Anbiya, Awliya, they have reached where they have reached just because of the number of the raka'at of the prayer and worshipping. I swear to God, it's not because of that only. Not because of that only. The challenge, unless you have been in this field, the challenge is not whether you are able to pray 100 rakat or 1,000 rakat. That's a challenge. The challenge is in your relation with your family, with your peers, with your friends. It is the social conduct and behavior that is a challenge sometimes, isn't it? How often as a counselor, family counselor, I hear these people say, Sheikh, I'd rather have a cancer than have this kind of husband or wife, or this family life. It's a killer, really it's a killer. This is where the patience of people will be tested. Remember this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when somebody upsets you, that you're really boiling up. If in that very moment, what am I supposed to do? This is a medicine. Take the medicine. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ. Those who have now this ability that they can extinguish their anger. They swallow their anger. I want to punch him. I want to kill him. I'm going to fix him up. At that moment, don't do anything. Just swallow it. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Forgive them. Up to that level is the level of previous prophets. You will be like the follower of Jesus. Follower of Moses. But if you want to be the follower of Ahlul Bayt, that we say we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the last part of it, Quran says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. God loves those who are benevolent. Benevolent people are those who do evil to them, they reciprocate it with good. Send them a bunch of flower. Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi was one of the teachers of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. An amazing person in Irfan, being the teacher of Imam Khomeini in Irfan. He himself studied under someone else that, you know, these figures in Irfan are like Marja Taqlid, like Ayatollah al-Uzma, Mullah Hussein Quli Hamadani. Mirza Jawad himself, he says, 2 years I attended the discipline lessons of Mullah Hassan Quli Hamadani. Let me just tell you one part of it to see the, what they're going through. He quotes, he says that at that time in Najaf, I remember people who were attending the lessons of Mullah Hussein Quli Hamadani, part of the practice discipline that he was giving them, that in your namaz shab, in your night prayer, read Dua Abu Hamza in the Qunut. He says, I knew myself back then about 60 talabe, 60 sheikhs in Najaf, who in the qunut of the namaz shab, they were reading Dua Abu Hamza Somali, that you and I seated, we don't have the patience to read it. But that does not make, and did not make them an arif. Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi says, after 2 years of studying and this discipline, tough disciplines under Mullah Hussain Quli Hamadani, I realized that still I'm not getting anything. Like my inner senses are not activated. Things that my teacher sees, I don't see. I'm not getting anywhere. I went up to him and I said, Shaykhuna Mawlana, I've been doing whatever that you asked me to do. 2 years has passed. Nothing's happening. You know, some people are expecting the first night bang all of a sudden. My teacher said to me, and as someone whose inner senses are open, he said to me that, Mirza Jawad, are you related to those Maliki? His surname was Maliki, so and so. He said, yes, I am, but really I've got nothing to do with them. They're not religious people. Do you have someone in relative that, we don't get along with them? No, just surname's the same, but I've got nothing to do with them. He says, my teacher told me that unless you go and serve them, unless you go and win their hearts, you are not getting anywhere in Irfan. Forget about practical Irfan. Forget about inner senses. Even if Dua Abu Hamza, you read the whole Mafatih in your Qunut, you don't get anywhere. The challenge is there. He said, but how can I? And Mirza Jawad himself, he says that I did that. I went and I served them like a servant. I put up with all what they were telling me until eventually some of them, they came to Islam, they became more like practicing Muslims, and fafazat summa fadat, it started coming. I felt that because I went through that tough channel. Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, again, one of his companions comes to him and says that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I've got a neighbor who's really annoying me. Do you allow me to just finish him one night? Imam Hassan alayhi salam says, I allow you to irhamhu, be nice and merciful to him. The guy turns and says, La rahmahullah. You know, when you are upset, may God have no mercy on him. I share mercy with him. I be kind to him. You don't know what he's doing to me. The Imam says, do you think by retaliation you can fix him? At the end of the day, you want to fix the problem or you don't? That's not how you can fix the problem. Irhamhu, be nice to him. You will fix his character. You have to tell yourself that, I know it's tough, but God has given him qalb. 99% of people that works for them, and inshallah this is one of the 99% of people, that I have to change his heart. And hence this qalb is called qalb, because your qalb changes. I have to change his heart. I have to win his heart. I don't care how long it takes, but it has to happen. The teachings of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam for us tonight, that he did it by practice. As an imam, a man comes from Damascus and starts swearing at the imam publicly. His friends say, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, let us bash him and fix him. The imam says, leave him to me. I know how to fix him myself. He goes up to him and said, that brother, from your accent I can tell you're a stranger. You're not from this town. Do you need accommodation? And the guy, a person who is swearing at the imam, do you need accommodation? Are you hungry? It seems that you are hungry. You are upset. What are you upset for? Okay. When you finish, come down. And takes him home, gives him free accommodation, food. Until the guy says, Allahu a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata. God knows best where to put his message. I'm coming from Damascus. I was under the propaganda. I don't know the kind of person I am. No, you are the right imam. They are not. They had fooled me. It would be easy to bash that person, but would that solve the problem? Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, Ya Rab, give us the tawfiq. Tonight, as a starting point, I wanted to mention this. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one lesson only, one more time, this word of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, let us take it home, remember this, لَأُغَمَّنَّ مَنَ أَمَرَكَ بَغَمِّي, I am going to grieve the one who ordered you to grieve me. Meaning that I'm going to reciprocate your evil action with good action. The more you do this, go home tonight and do this, practice it with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your friends. Any kind of like displeasant things comes to you, reciprocate it with good. Buy flowers for her, you win her heart. Buy flower for him, do something good in return, and that shows that my time is over. I'd put the alarm here. Although it's the night of the birth of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, I'm not reading Majlis obviously tonight, but nothing is stopping us to seek Allah's forgiveness and beseech Allah in the name of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, right in the heart of the month of Ramadan. If I may ask you, especially before I come here, a young lady who is in labor, her husband and family, they had asked me to pray, inshallah, for her easy and quick and safe delivery. Be conscious of all your hawa'ij. Please remember Imam al-Hujjah Jalalullah Farajah al-Sharif. Ask for his well-being, his quick return. Whatever of your needs and your hawaij, be conscious of that, and under breath you can repeat with me as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Ya Aba Muhammad, Ya Hassan ibn Ali, Ayyuhal Mujtaba, Ya ibn Rasulullah, Ya Hujjat Allah ala khalqih, يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد.